Anne Marie.
Hi, Rhiannon.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. So this is Super Ladies number 16, maybe?
That's my favorite number.
16? Yay.
It is. It always has been.
And this is not Shelby.
I am not Shelby.
But Shelby hasn't been replaced. Shelby is just dealing with a crisis. And we had planned our first Super Ladies guest today. And Shelby's off dealing with the crisis, so I'm here talking with Anne Marie.
Hi, everybody.
Hopefully Shelby will be able to join us whenever her crisis is alleviated. But latest update is she's still trying to work the problem. That is her actual words. So I thought I would go ahead and introduce everybody to Anne Marie, who is a longtime friend that Shelby and I have both known, that we all met through Twitter and fandom and stuff long ago, in no way related to comic books. And a few weeks ago, I went and visited Anne Marie in Boston. I was talking in our last podcast about going to Boston and talking about getting them from the library. And evidently, I created a monster.
You have. You have, in fact.
So what all did you get? And
I'm sitting here next to the pile of comics that I now am both borrowing from the library and buying for myself. So since I saw you, I have read, oh boy, what have I read? I've read the first four issues of Killer Be Killed. So I'm all caught up on Killer Be Killed. That was mostly Shelby tweet yelling at me.
Yeah,
to read Killer Be Killed.
Because I described Killer Be Killed to you when I was there, and I wasn't able to make it sound interesting at all.
But then Shelby tweet yells in her Shelby voice. I swear when she tweets, I can hear her in my head. And she was saying, read Killer Be Killed. So I did. And really, we should wait in hopes that she will be here to talk about Killer Be Killed.
Yes.
So yes. I just read issue 4 yesterday. I read number 1 of the new Jessica Jones, and I own number 2, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
So it's sitting here in my pile. I read the first of a new run of Lumberjanes, the Boombox run. It just came out maybe last week before. So I read a Lumberjanes.
And is that the only Lumberjanes? You just, like, bought that one for the fun of it?
Yes, because it was issue number 1 of, I guess, a new tale. All
right.
So they happen to have a number 1, so I bought that. I have been reading Why the Last Man. So this is one that I got from the library because it's old. And book 1 is, I don't know, it doesn't tell me on the cover. It's a lot of them. So it is Unmanned 1-5 and then cycle 6-10 of Why the Last Man. And I can't decide how I feel about it. I'm not entirely sure. I like it, but I think it might be a little sexist. I'm not sure. So I'll update you on that. I also volume 1 of the complete collection of The Runaways, which is my Thanksgiving reading that I intend to do.
Okay, so you haven't started Runaways at all yet?
I haven't started Runaways. Okay. No, I have purposefully been holding on to it to focus on over Thanksgiving. Because, you know, I've been a little distracted with what the end of the world as we know it is going on around us.
Yes, yes.
So, and then this week I picked up my comic book store that we went to, that you convinced me to walk into a few weeks ago, ordered for me the reprint of the 1972 Marvel comic Night Nurse, which I didn't know existed, knew nothing about. But when I asked both you guys at Super Ladies, and then I asked at my comic book store, who's Claire Temple and where did she come from and why is she so awesome? And apparently she is sort of an amalgamation of this night nurse character.
Okay.
Have you seen Night Nurse?
I've seen, so the character pops up in other comics. I've never read her individual comic, but I've seen her. There's definitely one Daredevil run where she ends up taking care of him, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like Claire Temple.
Yes. What cracks me up about it is her name, her character's name, is Linda Carter.
Yes.
And I went online today to see if they named her after Linda Carter, but Linda Carter wasn't Wonder Woman until 1975. She had done a couple of small things before that, according to IMDb. So I think it's just a weird coincidence.
Yeah, that's now they do a lot. So there, you'll find a lot where like Marvel characters and DC characters will have similar names because they were just sort of feeding off of each other. So you might have a character in Batman or something with the same name of a character in Captain America or something. But real life people.
Yeah, it's just strange.
Yeah. And the way I understand, the reason that Claire Temple is Claire Temple and not Linda Carter is that when Daredevil started, Marvel Studios didn't have the rights to Night Nurse.
Ah.
They belonged. So when they sold off, so Marvel sent some characters to, I mean, Fox bought some parts of the Marvel Universe. So Fox owns the X-Men rights. And in that, they had to, I mean, because in all of these comics, everybody overlaps and everything, they had to define some of these secondary characters that belong in certain universes. So Marvel evidently, or Fox got, there's a character in Guardians of the Galaxy that Fox owned with that. And like every now and then they'll trade off characters, but some of these secondary characters come with it. And the Night Nurse was sold to Sony with Spider-Man. So when they did Daredevil season one, they didn't have the film rights to Night Nurse.
Ah.
And then what's happened is Marvel has made deals with Sony. So now Sony's Spider-Man is in the MCU and they have access to more of those characters. So they have Claire Temple and they just made her Claire Temple and they were making her act as the Night Nurse. But now they can actually use the words Night Nurse.
Which apparently they do in one of the Luke Cage episodes.
Yes.
One of the, like, thug guys calls her Night Nurse, which I didn't catch when I watched Luke Cage, but I read about today. I see, if you didn't know all of those things, I would just assume that Marvel called her Claire Temple because if they called her Linda Carter, people would be confused.
True. And that might be a more, I mean, that's sort of the reason that everybody has assumed.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where I heard that they didn't have the rights to her. But yeah, Linda Carter would be weird.
And in this, I only read maybe the first 20 pages of this reprint, but Linda Carter, Night Nurse, has two roommates slash fellow nurses, and one of them is a redhead named Christine Palmer, who apparently is in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
She's the character that Rachel McAdams plays, and instead of being a nurse, she's a surgeon or something.
Yes.
So she got a promotion from being a nurse at Metro General.
Yeah, and well, in Doctor Strange, which I guess you haven't seen Doctor Strange yet?
I have not yet.
Okay. In Doctor Strange, she's at Metro General. Christine Palmer's a doctor at Metro General, and so is Stephen Strange. There are doctors there.
Yes.
But they never run into Claire. There's no Claire in Doctor Strange. I'm not even going to let you get your hopes up for that.
I want her to be everywhere. I want her
It was
to be.
only afterwards, because they refer to it as Metropolitan General, and it was
Oh, that's
only
funny.
afterwards, like, some of the folks over at the MCU Exchange were like, wait a second, that's Metro General. So, but that's cool. There have
Well,
been.
I'm having my little bit of conflict about how to watch the Marvel universe because I'm very far behind. If you guys are super ladies, I'm like super duper ladies. So we were tweeting, you and I and our friend Jenna, who you've talked about on the podcast before, were tweeting about the order in which to watch the Marvel movies and the Marvel TV shows. And you guys being super helpful and super friendly were like, here's the minimum you need to watch to get to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is what I want to watch. Well, this other person who I don't know somehow saw our conversation and replied in a 7-part Twitter response because of character limitations of the exact order of every Marvel thing that I should watch. And now I'm hiding under my bed because I can't possibly watch it all.
How did I miss that?
Well, because he only replied to me,
Oh.
and I don't know who he is. Let me pull up my Twitter notifications here.
Wow.
See if maybe I don't want to out him on the podcast, but yeah. And I started to see notifications, and I was like, I don't know who I'm getting notifications from. And then I looked, I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Oh, wait, he's telling me the order of all of the Marvel stuff. So I know what he's responding to, but I don't know where he came from.
Well, that's friendly.
I know. It took a lot of time. He was
Yeah.
very thorough. So, and his the few things the few things that you guys told me to watch, he put them in his order. They're in the order you told me. There's just like 72 other things in between them that he insists I need to watch.
Yeah. So, okay, so, a year ago, or a little longer than a year ago, I hadn't watched any of the movies in the universe. And I did the same thing. I was like, I want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I also, there were certain movies I wanted to watch and I wanted to get to. So, yeah, those lists are overwhelming because if you want to watch the whole MCU in chronological order, sometimes it starts with Agent Carter. Did he start with Agent Carter?
He started with Captain America, the First Avenger, and then
Okay.
Agent Carter.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, so he could have just sent you a link. There's a link out there of the whole MCU in order.
Yeah, well, instead he tweeted me nine tweets, I just counted them, with 36 things that I have to watch. It includes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's very thorough. I'm just
Yeah.
so impressed with this. It
Well,
includes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. broken up, not even by season, but by episodes within season.
right.
Like, as Jenna pointed out, Captain America Winter Soldier is like a prequel to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 17 or something. So,
Yeah.
he breaks up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and puts the movies, it's very impressive.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, so a lot of times on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they will have references. So, like, because it is every week, a movie will be coming out in the weekend between episodes, and they will call to that movie. So, the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. may have spoilers for the movie, or the movie might have spoilers. It's a little less that the movie will have spoilers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But and those and that's it's so funny because when I was watching it, I skipped Agent Carter. Just because I didn't want to have to watch however many episodes exist of that before I moved on. I really wanted to watch The Avengers. I highly recommend watching The Avengers before you start watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, yeah, because you and Jenna recommended Avengers and Captain America Winter Soldier, both of which
Yeah.
I have my hands on right now.
Yeah.
So again, Thanksgiving break, that will be
And Jenna was so funny because when I was in the middle of my watch, I really wanted to jump to Winter Soldier because I've heard so much about Winter Soldier. And Jenna, at some point, because at the time she was driving between New Jersey and Georgia, and I'm kind of at the halfway point between New Jersey and Georgia, and she stopped and we had breakfast. And I remember us sitting at IHOP and her just looking me in the eye and being like, if you watch Winter Soldier before you get to that point in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I don't remember what her threat was or if there was a threat. I just remember her being like, you cannot do this. You have to watch them in this order. And she was very serious about it. So I listened to her. And yeah, I mean, there was a lot of hype about having to watch them in that order. And I think if you were doing it when the movies actually came out, it would be a huge deal. But just watch them
Yeah.
whenever you want to watch them.
I watched Iron Man 1 and 2 when they came out because hi, Robert Downey Jr. So I don't feel like I need to rewatch them. I think I remember well enough. So they're like steps 5 and 6 in this 9-point plan. I didn't watch the first Thor, but I watched the second Thor because, well, Zach. I think I watched the first Incredible Hulk. So I've seen, I saw some of them, but not in the mindset of this is a huge overarching tableau that I need to be paying attention to every detail of. And that's where I feel like I'm probably going to fail when I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In, not that I don't think I'll understand it, because I'm fairly competent. But I'll definitely miss some of the sweet little Easter eggs that I'm sure Marvel throws in there for their very observant fans.
Yeah, but I don't th I mean, I don't know. I don't think I caught all the little Easter eggs. I think the big thing that you need to know is who is Phil Coulson and what is S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Which I started to watch The Avengers, because it's on demand, thanks to Jenna, I found that out. And it starts out with, here's Coulson. So, and the reason that I want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is because of Coulson, because I love Clark Gregg from way back in the West Wing days. So
Right.
I should definitely make sure I'm getting the whole Coulson arc and story. So I'm willing to put in the work. I just need a few days off to catch up.
Yes, and it's a lot. It's a lot to catch up on.
Yes.
So.
I just noticed on my copy of Night Nurse, which is a reprint, that the back cover is our good friend Charlie Cox in the first season Daredevil ad with his knuckles all bloodied and his tie all crooked. So, because they have reprinted this a couple years ago, apparently
So, and
they were
that's like a
advertising Daredevil.
1960s. It's a Silver Age comic. Does it feel very, very outdated or like chauvinistic or okay?
Yes. It was I think it was 72, if I read correctly today, that it ran from 72 to 73. It wasn't a very long run. And you know, it is about girls going to nursing school and becoming nurses, and it's actually my mother, who is a nurse, might find it kind of funny because they are wearing the pointy white hats and the almost like candy striper uniforms, but their uniforms are like thigh high. They're or thigh short, I guess, is really like I've never seen a nurse actually wear a uniform that looks like this. Yeah. So the woman at the comic book store who ordered it for me said, you know, it's a little bit of the sort of 70s exploitation looking, you know, girls in short skirts and large chests.
Well.
So, but they're doing good work and they're, you know, they're smart. They're not, they're not ditzy or anything. They're just
yeah,
poorly clothed.
Well, I look forward to seeing or hearing, like, if it's worthwhile. I'm sure it's, I think it's on Marvel Unlimited. I think I've looked for it on the app.
Yeah, well, and the reprint is, I mean, it's quite a lot. And something in the back is not at that. It must be a preview for something else. Oh, it's a Daredevil. there's a Daredevil stuck in the back. The Murdoch papers. Yes. So there's 84 pages of Night Nurse and then a few, you know, an issue of Daredevil. So, and it was $7.99 for the reprint. It wasn't, you know, ridiculously expensive. So I said, sure.
Yeah.
All right. Why not? I'll become the person who orders things from the comic book store.
Well, your comic book store was really awesome.
I love it there. So since you came to visit, I've gone back twice.
Yay!
The same woman who was at the register the day that we were there has been there both times. I've never seen the guy who was there again, but there's been an older woman who I think is kind of the manager, maybe owner, I don't know. She's the one who ordered Night Nurse for me. But I went in there the Saturday after the election, and as you recall, when you go down the stairs, there was like a little table with a display. And I think when we were there, it was right before Halloween. So there was like a little Halloween display. But I was walking around the display table and there were comics of every kind of race and gender and orientation and religion you could imagine on the table. And I looked up at the woman and she saw me walking around the table. And I was like, I like your display. She's like, yeah, we felt like we had to put it up, you know, after the election. And I was like, that's awesome. She's like, we want people to feel comfortable here and know that they can come in here no matter who they are.
Because when we were in there, they had that cool, it was like a lot of women in comic.
Yes. Yep. Stuff. And so they had this all-inclusive thing. And the woman then said, and coming up next, we have a dystopian future display.
Awesome.
Also timely.
Oh, we got Shelby.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
We can hear you.
But not good. It's not good. It's going in and out. Like.
Have you tried just unplugging your whole house and plugging it back in? Like your whole house.
No, haven't tried that. Maybe I should just try that.
Just unplug Georgia and plug it back in.
Yeah, that's, it's probably Trump's fault.
You're coming through nice and clear now. Okay, so we've got Anne-Marie here.
Yay!
Hi, Shelby!
Hello! Yay! Please work. Please let something work today. Please work.
So maybe Anne-Marie was just talking about Night Nurse, which she went to the comic book shop and had them order her a reprint so that she could read
it. Right. Yes. And that's from what? Is it from the 70s? Because I don't know.
Yep. 1972.
Nice.
It is older than I am. There aren't many left that are older than I am.
Oh my God. Well, I've made it through almost all of Daredevil Volume 1, which started in the 60s. So I've been through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and now I'm in the 90s. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm so glad we have converted you to our dark side.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
That sounded particularly awesome because Shelby was going in and out.
No, you're going out now. So.
Damn it, Shelby.
I can't hear you at all now.
Damn it.
Not working at all. I will just... you can just edit this out. Y'all continue, and I don't know. I don't know what the deal is tonight. I don't.
Bye, Shelby.
Ooh.
Bye, Shelby.
Ooh. Bye. Y'all have fun.
Thanks. That was sad.
So sad.
So sad. So Shelby's having a no good, horrible, very bad day.
It sounds that way.
Which sticks to the dystopian universe.
Oh, yes. So their upcoming display is the dystopian future. It's like, yes, yes. We know it well. I'm practicing my archery.
I started rereading, because when I was there, I got like a discount copy of The Stand as a graphic novel.
Yep.
And so I started reading that some this week, which feels just like the book, which I've read many times.
So. Which is impressive because it is so long.
I don't know. You know, that's the thing. Like, I could probably literally name every single book I've read. Like, I've read so few because I'm just a slow reader. But The Stand, mm-hmm. I've read multiple times. And for those that don't know, it's like 1,000 pages.
It is a very long book. A very good book and worth the investment of time and resources, but very long. So, and you've read all the Outlander books, so you don't read a lot of books, but you read really, really long books.
I really get invested in universes.
It's good.
Good. I've read the Outlander books and all of the Outlander spinoff books and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm finding it comforting, really, that I'm diving into these false realities in the comics. I started watching Westworld yesterday, which everyone's talking about. It's soothing to the actual reality, which I don't want to deal with at all. So I'm all for these alternate universes. So maybe I'll dive into Outlander finally. It's very possible that that will happen this winter.
Yeah, that would be a good diversion. Though, I mean, the comics, I mean, when I got into Daredevil, it was really just, like, I was so stressed with everything else in life. I just escaped and read them. So, the comics might be enough for you.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. I'm excited for Runaways. After I read it all, I'll have to come back and we can talk about Runaways. Yes.
We'll have to get Shelby. We'll have to coordinate this so that Shelby's internet works.
Yes.
And we can get her on.
Yeah, because I can see from Twitter that she's reading them now. So
yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So can we talk about good behavior?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about good behavior. Yes. So for those that don't know, and you really should, there's a new show on TNT called Good Behavior. It stars Michelle Dockery, who was in Downton Abbey as Lady Mary. And it's got Juan Diego Botto, who was Felipe in The New World's Oro in 1991 on the Family Channel.
On the Family Channel.
Yes. Which, you know,
which doesn't exist anymore.
Which doesn't exist anymore, but in 1991, like, 91 to 93, like, for the record, I was, like, 11, and I had the biggest crush on Juan Diego Botto. And I have, like, followed his career, which has gone nowhere outside of Spain. He did, like, one John Malkovich movie 10 years ago in English. And so I am so excited for him to be back on American TV.
Oh, and is he back?
Isn't he?
My goodness. He is an attractive man.
My 11-year-old self. My 11-year-old self had really good taste.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, on the Family Channel, I was watching the reruns of Scarecrow and Mrs. King. So for me, it was Bruce Boxleitner, who still to this day, even though he's older than my dad, I find very attractive.
I never watched this. I had a whole progression on the Family Channel back in the day. I started because I was watching the old Adam West Batman.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't even... Like, it was to the point that I didn't really even care about the Adam West Batmans, but my cousin told me that in one of the episodes, Robin got blown up. And I didn't have the internet to go and find out that this was bullshit. I didn't have any resources other than to be home at 5 o'clock every day and watch. Because what if I missed one episode and that was the one? And they showed the reruns, like, every day. So I had to be home and I had to watch it because I wanted to see that episode where Robin got blown up.
Man, the way we watch television has changed so much in our
Right?
lifetimes.
And like I have seen like the whole series of Batman probably three or four times because I was on a mission to see
To see the one.
Because yes, inevitably I missed a couple episodes. So what if those were the ones? And I had to rewatch. So anyways, I was watching that, and then one day, like instead of Batman, or I had the time wrong or something, and Zorro was on, and I was like, oh my God, that boy is so cute. I've got to keep watching that show. And that's how I moved to Zorro,
Nice.
which was a
Yeah,
fun series.
I watched the I'm going back to the Adam West Batman for a second. I watched the Adam West Batman with my brother every morning before school when we were little. And the only episode I really remember involved a giant clam. Like they were in the sewer or I don't know, some underwater lair, and there was a giant clam that was threatening them. And I was terrified of it.
See, I don't remember any of the plots. I think it was one of
I don't
those,
think
like,
there
you
were
know a
any, really.
spoiler and you're just waiting for that spoiler and not paying attention to anything. I did that with watching every single day. I just remember Robin saying, holy, everything was holy, whatever. Holy giant grenade, Batman!
He probably said, "Holy giant clam, Batman."
Yeah, holy giant clam! So, anyways, Juan Diego Boto in Good Behavior.
Yes, is so good.
This is why the
So, so
show was
good.
on my radar.
Okay.
That and it's filmed in North Carolina. And it starts off in Statesville, which is a little tiny town in North Carolina where Interstate 40 and 77 come together, and also where my parents spent their wedding night.
Oh.
And it's about as beautifully depicted as in the show. Which, for those that haven't
It's
watched the
very
show
scenic.
yet, it's a shithole. So, anyways, what are your thoughts on Good Behavior so far?
I love it. I think it's unique and clever and something I haven't seen on TV in a while. And I loved Michelle Dockery on Downton Abbey. She's not playing Lady Mary in this
No.
show. I think she needed to do something like that. Like, she was going to be typecast as Lady Mary for the rest of her life. So I think this is a really good departure for her, and I think it's a really interesting acting challenge. Her character is not particularly likable. Neither was Lady Mary, quite honestly, but for completely different reasons. I think it's a really great role for her. And Juan Diego is, I don't know yet. I mean, it's only been two episodes, so
Yeah.
I really don't know what to make of him yet. He is seemingly at this point someone that you should not be rooting for. Yet he is incredibly appealing. And not just physically. Like, there's something about him that is endearing, and there shouldn't be. His character should be completely unlovable. So.
Right, and that's where, I mean, because at this point, I've watched the pilot three times. Because I made my parents watch it last night. And I've watched that second episode twice. My parents were funny. They keep thinking that Michelle Dockery is that woman from Weeds. And I'm like,
Oh, yeah, I
no.
can see that.
I'm like, this is not Mary
Yeah.
Louise Parker.
Not Mary Louise Parker, but I
They're
can
like,
see where they might think
yeah,
that.
they're like, but we've seen her before. And I'm like, no, because they haven't watched Downton Abbey. So if they ever figure out where they recognize her from, that'll be interesting. But, and every time when I get to that point that they're like in the elevator, I'm like, well, one, I'm like, is he gonna grab her by the pussy?
Because that's just the default these days.
Oh my God, they filmed this like a year ago. And here's a scene where he's grabbing her by the pussy. And then he stops right before his hand gets there. But it, you already know, well, and I mean, this is the premise of the show for those that haven't watched it, and we'll try not to be spoilery because you should go watch it. But the premise of the show is that he's a hitman.
And you know that pretty early on, so it's really a spoiler. So like, I think in the first 10 minutes you find that out. So
yeah, so like you should be believing that he's a bad guy. And so when he's putting his hands all over this woman, I'm just kind of like, oh, is he a bad guy, bad guy? Like, should I be cheering for this guy? Is it okay to like him? And I still don't know. I'm still out on him. I mean, he's a bit possessive and rapey.
Yes. And holding captive V, kind of. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and she's
but
somewhat...
No, I mean, she's no angel herself.
Yeah.
So they're quite a duo.
So yeah, I'm still kind of conflicted on how I feel about it all, because it feels very, captive-y and conflicted and rapey. But I will watch every single episode because it is Juan Diego Botto on American TV.
And I think they have really good chemistry, both in the good moments and the bad moments. Like, they play off each other really well. And on demand, on TNT, if you watch it on demand, at least for the second episode, I don't know if there was for the first episode, there was like a little behind-the-scenes snippet at the end of the on-demand, which is funny because Michelle Dockery is British, and she's playing American, so she doesn't have her accent in the show, and then they're doing the little like interview stuff behind the scenes, and she's all British again, and it cracks me up. But they, you know, they definitely seem friendly, and all the, you know, behind the scenes set stuff looks like they're getting along. So, because it has to be pretty intense to film what they filmed for the first two episodes. Like, there's lots of moments that are quite dramatic and tense.
Yeah.
But they seem to be doing quite a good job. So.
Yay.
Yeah. Nice. And they did, for the first episode, if you watch it on demand, at the end, there's like, you know, coming up this season. So you get a little bit of a view of where the season's going and some highlights of the whole season, which I always like when they do that. Kind of gives you, it lets you know that they filmed it, which is always nice.
Yeah, they have filmed the whole season.
Yeah. You know, as opposed to network television where they're filming from week to week, or they might get canceled and you'll never see the end of that show.
Yes.
So... yeah, so I'm excited for it, and yay for Rhiannon recommending it. I'm all in. All in on that. I'm all in on Westworld. I'm not caught up on Westworld. Last night was episode 8, and I think I'm on episode 5. So
I haven't watched any of it yet.
Yeah, I had heard mixed things at the beginning, mostly about how the women were treated. But then some of those same people came around a bit. They stuck with it. Came around a bit. So Anthony Hopkins is in it, and he's amazing. The man is an excellent actor.
You think?
Yeah, you know. There's my insight.
Revolutionary. For the
please walk away with Anne Marie's insight on Anthony Hopkins as an excellent actor. Tandy Newton, who I've loved forever, is in it. Tandy Newton's a great actress. And Evan Rachel Wood, who I hadn't seen since True Blood, except in Scary Pictures with Marilyn Manson, is fantastic. She's really quite good.
Huh.
James Marsden. It's a very interesting cast.
James Marsden. Wow.
I know.
Well, that's what, it's not that it's one that I haven't intentionally ignored. I just don't have a easy way to watch HBO on demand yet. I need to either subscribe to HBO Go, or I think my parents have the whole series DVR'd, but I don't know if I'll be able to watch it like while everybody's around for Thanksgiving. I should have watched Westworld with them the other night because they haven't started it yet. I should have watched Westworld instead of making them watch Good Behavior while I was there, but I wanted to force that upon them.
I know. Well, I'm torn between telling my mother about Good Behavior and not telling my mother about Good Behavior, because my mother is still mourning the end of Downton Abbey. So I'm sure she'll be thrilled to know that Michelle Dockery has work, but I just don't think she's ready to see her as anyone other than Lady Mary. And then instead we'll end up watching like all of Downton Abbey over Thanksgiving. So well, I might just not mention it at all.
Would I have, if she is mourning Downton Abbey, I started watching with my mom, I started watching The Crown.
Yeah.
Which
I haven't heard of that yet.
It starts, it's a Netflix show.
Yeah.
And it starts in the late 40s. But it has a lot, you know, it has a lot of, you're still in that world. You're living in the inner life of royalty in England. And it's not, you don't get as much of the servant's eye view of things, but you still get a lot of, you get a lot of the Downton Abbey feel.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, and it's really interesting. I mean, I'm only about 4 episodes in, but it, I'm definitely going to watch the rest. And I'm enjoying it. It's a nice, it actually, if you've seen The King's Speech.
Yes.
It's almost like it starts off where that ends.
Oh, interesting.
Because King George, who's the king in The King's Speech, you know, it starts off with him having to make a public statement and having to focus on getting the words right and
right.
working through. And then it's essentially about his daughter. Hmm. So
I'm pretty sure I saw The King's Speech with my parents.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
So if your mom is mourning Downton Abbey, maybe you can recommend The Crown.
Yeah, I need to do something for her because she, I knew, you know, the Downton Abbey thing was going to be bad. And the good thing with my mother is she, you know, she watches television when it's on television. Like, she would watch Downton Abbey every Sunday night from, like, January, the week after New Year's when it would start, to whenever. So when it ended last year, she was fine until now when she should be getting ready for a new season of Downton Abbey and there's no new Downton Abbey. So I was like, oh, she's going to be sad at Christmas that there's no new Downton Abbey. And now she's just so sad that Trump is president that maybe she's forgotten or maybe she's sadder. I don't know. I don't know. It could go either way. It could just be like, oh god, Trump is president and there's no Downton Abbey. It could be terrible.
I know,
I'm really not looking forward to the holidays.
Yeah I've got, evidently my grandmother has lost her mind for the holidays, which I don't think has to do with Trump, but maybe, I don't know. And my aunt has lost her mind because of Trump, so it's going to be interesting for us too. But then again, my parents have discovered Deadpool and evidently think that's wonderful. So maybe we'll just watch Deadpool over the holidays.
I have not yet seen Deadpool.
It's raunchy.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. 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 But where was I? We were heading in some direction before we... before I got off on The Crown and everything. Oh, well.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyways, I've been watching The Crown. Oh, I'm going to try to watch Westworld at some point.
Oh, right.
When I have a chance.
Yeah, I think it's definitely... Did you ever see the movie The Cabin in the Woods?
I don't think so, but I've heard enough about it.
So there's a little bit of an aspect of The Cabin in the Woods that's part of Westworld. And again, that's not really a spoiler because you know it. If you've seen Cabin in the Woods and you haven't seen Westworld, I haven't spoiled too much because within 10 minutes of the first episode of Westworld, you know what's going on. Which I thought was a very interesting choice. If we ever get to talk to Shelby again, I'd love to talk to her about that because they play all their cards very early in the first episode of Westworld, and they could have held on to them for longer. And I'm curious how people feel about that. I, for one, loved it because I like, as an audience member, knowing more than the people in the show know. I'm sort of like an omniscient viewing narrator. And you do, as the viewer of the Westworld, you know more than everybody in the show.
Okay. And you haven't read issue 4 of Kill or Be Killed yet, right?
Yes, I have.
Yes. So you saw that Brubaker was a writer on Westworld.
Yes. Yes. I that's one of the things I love about Kill or Be Killed is the little Brubaker pop culture roundup, as I've been calling it, at the end of the issues.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I haven't read those, but I saw you tweet about it, and I was like, I'll have to read this one. And then he was like, you've seen the episode that I read of Westworld. And I'm like, what the hell? So.
Yeah, so I have to figure out, based on when that issue came out, because that issue came out this past Wednesday, right?
Yes.
So that would mean that this, like, last night's episode was the one that he wrote.
Maybe. I'm looking at IMDb right now.
Okay. I'm looking at Killer Be Killed number 2, which isn't going to help me. Here's number 4. I loved Killer Be Killed number 4. And I had seen, Shelby had retweeted something, some other comic book Twitter feed thing that was just praising it and how good it was. And sometimes that will, like, put me off a little bit and be like, no, I'm not going to fall for the propaganda. I'm going to have my own opinion. And my own opinion is Kill or Be Killed number 4 is awesome.
Well, and that's what, see, because I wasn't going to buy any more Kill or Be Killed. And then you were talking about liking Kill or Be Killed issue 4. Yeah. Yeah, because I went to, what day of the week is this? Monday? Okay. So he did the episode called Dissonance Theory. I don't know what number it is yet, but when I went to the Secret Stash last Wednesday, it must have come out last Wednesday. When I went there, they were already sold out of Kill or Be Killed number 4.
Yeah, because when I went back to the comic book store last Saturday, I bought Kill or Be Killed 1 and 2, and 3 was sold out. So she was getting reprints of 3 with 4 this week. But then Night Nurse wasn't coming in until Thursday, so I didn't go to the comic book store on Wednesday. I waited until Night Nurse came in. So I got Kill or Be Killed 3 and 4. They still had some 4.
Yeah.
Night Nurse and Jessica Jones 2 had come out on Wednesday, so
yeah,
I got that too.
Because I went and I was going to get Jessica Jones, Kill or Be Killed, and Postal, and they had Jessica Jones, so I was able to get that. They were out of Kill or Be Killed, and Mike was asking me if I wanted him to hold it, or, you know, he was teasing me. He was like, you can call me anytime and I will hold these for you. And I was That's like, yeah, awesome. I didn't know if I would make it. And I was like, I really don't know if I want to keep going with Kill or Be Killed. I was like, if I can't find it, then it's just a sign that I'm not going to keep going with it. And then you and Shelby both tweeted how excited you were about issue 4. So today I'm back in North Carolina. So I stopped at my local comic book shop and they had it. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm meant to read it. So I picked it up and I did like it.
So. Yeah. And I loved, I didn't realize that it was going to be the end of an arc. I mean, I guess it makes sense. We're going into the holidays, so it's a good time to make us wait. But it was a really good cliffhanger to keep us tied over to January.
So are no more coming out till January?
Yeah, the next one comes out January. Where does it ship? Blah, 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 blah.
That's a long ways away.
It is. It is. Oh, come on. I know it says it somewhere here.
So Brubaker that did that, he wrote season 1, episode 4 of Westworld.
Oh, then I watched it already.
Yeah.
Because I watched through episode 5.
Yeah.
So I'll have to go back and see if I can tell what's Brubaker-ish about it.
See, and Brubaker also wrote the Captain America Winter Soldier storyline.
Oh, really?
Not the movie, but the comic storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a series of Daredevil. I don't remember which one. Shelby's really good at. I'm gonna Google it. He reinvented Daredevil when it was sort of like down the dumps and gave it the new sort of darker tone, I think. Though I thought Miller did that. But anyways, he wrote some Daredevil too. But the Winter Soldier storyline that the movie was sort of based off of was Brubaker.
Nice.
So he's all over the place.
So in this little, what I've been calling his pop culture roundup that's at the end of each issue of Kill or Be Killed, which I love, like it's a little bit about the issue itself and his thoughts on that, and then what he's reading, what he's watching, what he's gaming. It's really, I love it. But at the very end it says, okay, that's it for this issue, write us at and the Gmail address and let us know what you think of our story so far, or send cosplay photos or whatever, and we'll see you in January with issue 5. So it
Okay.
doesn't have a specific date, just says January.
Oh.
So, and then one of his other comics is called The Fade Out, and there are ads for it in Kill or Be Killed, and Shelby recommended it to me the other day, and it's like film noirish Hollywood story, which seems very, very different, like very, just different topic altogether. And it's a murder mystery, but it's also like communist Red Scare,
Yeah.
what's the guy? Can't I think of his name? The
McCarthy?
FBI guy. Yes, Joe McCarthy. So it sounds like there's a little bit of that in the background. The covers are gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, there's one with an old-fashioned-y typewriter and what's supposed to be, I think, ink, but looks like blood dripping over it. It's very cool. So, yep, I want to read all the things now. Have you read Morning Glories?
No.
So I was in my comic book store, and you know how they have the little like sets in the back of old issues that they've kind of
Yes.
bundled together. So they had a bunch of this comic called Morning Glories, but it was like, I don't know, the eighth story in the cycle, and it was a few issues from that. So I didn't get that because I don't want to start with number eight. So I went to my library and they have volume one. It looks like prep school girls, but I'm sure it's more nefarious than that. So I might be reading Morning Glories.
So when I stopped by my store, I ended up talking with the guy a long time about being in New Jersey and going to the Secret Stash, and he wanted to know all about what that was like. And then I mentioned that I have podcasts and stuff, so he started like feeling like he needed to recommend new stuff to me, both between my Secret Stash story and the fact that, yeah, just telling him what I liked. So he had me buy Ether number one, which is an interesting little comic book. But the other one he had me get is Slam. And evidently it's a comic book about roller derby girls.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And he said that it's about, like different girls on the team and their background and where they come from and, how they get along and all that and stuff. So I have it. I haven't read it yet because I just picked it up this afternoon. But I will let you know because that seems like one that your shop would be into.
Yeah.
And
Who prints it? Which?
it's an indie comic. I don't even recognize the brand. Boom Studios or Boom Box. And it's written by Ribon, Ribon. With art by Fish. Yeah, written by Pamela Ribone, Ribon, if I'm doing that right. Like ribbon with only one B. Illustrated by Veronica Fish, and then colors by Brittany Pierre. So, I.
Yeah, well, and I want to read Postal, but My shop only had 3, 4, and 5. They didn't have any ones and twos left.
Okay,
so
yeah, and we probably have to talk to Shelby about if we're doing the right thing on postal, because mine had issued like 16.
Oh.
And I thought it was a new series.
Hmm.
So when I was in Ultimate Comics in Chapel Hill, they told me that what we have this week is Postal Dossier number 1. And I picked that up, but it still feels like I'm in the middle of something.
Middle of something, yeah.
So Shelby will have to explain the postal thing. And I also like want to talk to Shelby because the Secret Stash, Mike told me that he isn't carrying postal because he has a large group of autistic customers that come in, and that it had stuff in there that he didn't want them to see. And I mean, this is a shop
because
that carries. He said it was triggering.
Really?
So that made me super curious what was in it. And I plan to talk to him more about it. But I mean, this is a shop that carries sex criminals and has Blunt Man and Chronic like dolls, and you know, they're it's not a safe place.
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem to
like
me to
the
be
theater?
Like a highly, you know, highly censored type atmosphere. So I'm just really interested on why this particular comic is one that he decided not to carry for those reasons. And so when I picked it up, I expected it to be very insensitive. And I haven't, the one that I picked up, that's why I want to check with Shelby and make sure I'm reading the right thing. So.
Okay.
But that just made me so much more curious. Right. So.
And I have Alias Volume 1 at the library, which is the first thing that I put on hold when you were here. And somehow I'm just now getting it, even though I've got the other stuff first. So I'm going to leave it at the library until after Thanksgiving. Hopefully I'll have read Runaways by then, and I'll trade it out and read Alias Volume 1. So I'm getting all my reading in.
Yay.
I haven't read any real books. My father asked me last night on the phone. I talk to my parents every week on the phone, and my dad, because he doesn't want to talk about politics anymore, he's like, so what are you reading? I'm like, oh, dystopian comics about horrible things. And he's like, really? What has Trump done to you? Like, I can't do anything but this. This is all I do now.
You should have been like, you should see my friend. She's just resorted to coloring books.
I get beautiful art in the mail because Rihanna needs to color.
Yes, you guys, I have found the most beautiful little coloring book. It's postcards, and you color them. And so you can color a postcard and then send it to your friend, and it just makes me happy.
And they get it in the mail the day after the election.
Yes.
And you're like so sad that the world is ending, but there's this beautiful piece of art in your mailbox.
Exactly. Only one friend got it the day after the election. Because they take a long time to color.
No.
But maybe a third person will get one. So. Anyways. So we're coping with the results of the election with dystopian universes, coloring books,
and hot Spanish men on TV.
Oh, yes, hot Spanish men on TV. That's, yeah.
Our lives aren't so bad, really.
They really aren't. No. I'm really excited to see that hot Spanish man on my TV. And if people become obsessed with him, I can tell you everything you need to know. Because
really,
well, I mean, okay, I did consider trying to hunt him down when I was in Madrid a few years ago, but not speaking Spanish seemed like a really big barrier. I didn't even
get a little phrase book or something.
Yeah. I did when they were in North Carolina filming. I knew about it, and I tried to get myself to go, but I don't know. It felt like stalkerish to be like, I'm a fan of that show you were in 1991. So I never did it. But he is on Twitter.
Oh, is he?
Yes. He doesn't, he's very politically active in Spanish.
I was gonna say, is it gonna be like following the guy from
Yeah.
Covert Affairs that
Yes.
was always tweeting in Spanish?
Yes.
Okay.
But he is very politically active. If I remember correctly, actually, it's been a long time since I've like looked at his story, but his family is Argentinian. Like he was born in Buenos Aires, but his family left for political reasons, and so he ended up growing up in Spain. So he's very politically active and stuff. If I remember correctly.
Cool.
I'll have to, if I'm gonna advertise myself as like the number one Juan Diego Botto fan, I probably need to get back up on his facts. But
Yes, brush up on your Juan Diego.
everybody should watch the show and fall in love with him first and let me know what you think.
You really should watch the show. I'm curious, I don't know that I've watched a TNT show before. Have I watched a TNT show before? What are some TNT shows I may have watched? Is Rizzoli and Isles a TNT show? I feel like that might be a TNT show.
It sounds like it might have been a TNT. Yeah, Rizzoli and Isles was a TNT show.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that.
The Librarians, I've heard a lot about, but I've never watched.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. But Noah Wyle's other show, Falling Skies, was that a TNT show?
I'm not seeing it on the list yet. The Closer.
I
That
never watched The Closer, even though I really like her.
I tried to watch The Closer and I couldn't get past the fake Southern accents.
Yeah, that's how I am with any movie set in Boston.
Leverage.
Nope, didn't watch Leverage. Was Carrie Matchett in Leverage?
Saving Grace. Did you ever watch that?
Nope.
Yeah. It was very good. I liked Saving Grace.
Really?
That's one, like, if you were going to go back and Netflix something, it's a very. Her guardian angel comes down and is on earth with her, trying to reform her. So it's still that, like, girl that drinks too much and needs to be saved, but she's a cop. But she's still,
Who
like, on
is
a
it?
path of
Is it?
self-destruction. It
Who's the
is.
actress, though? Is it Holly Hunter?
Yes.
I hate Holly Hunter.
Oh.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Mary Louise Parker. I don't
I
know.
really enjoyed
I've
Saving
never
Grace, though.
liked.
Yeah.
Okay. I came around on Mary Louise Parker, so maybe I can come around on Holly Hunter.
Well, and it's a show that ended its run in 2010, so there's no rush to watch that. Looking through, it looks like a lot of good series have been on TNT, just not ones I've watched, but ones I've heard good things about.
Yeah, so I was excited to
Yeah.
put my on-demand on and
And
give it a go.
if you watch it on demand, you hear all the fucks, because they say fuck a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that I could hear it, but it sounded not muted, but softened.
Okay.
It was definitely, because I noticed that, but it was definitely either they were whispering it, which seems weird, or it was somehow, I don't know, softened a little bit.
Okay,
So.
then I bought. So the first episode was free, and I watched it on Amazon. I got a Fire Stick, and you can talk into the remote. And I said, "Show me good behavior," and it pulled it right up.
That's amazing
So it was
and
free.
creepy.
Yeah, I know. I love my new Fire Stick. It
I
pulled
would
it
love
up.
it more if you said, "Show me good behavior," and then it showed you like, how to be polite to strangers video or
Right. That's or it just starts playing that in
picking up litter on the
if
side
it starts
of the
playing
road.
that app that she's always playing in the show. I
Yes.
feel good today.
Exactly. I am a good person.
I am going to make good decisions.
I will will be my best self. I really love the opening credits. Speaking of IMDb.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They're very, very cool, the opening credits.
My dad actually watched the opening credits instead of fast forwarding, which says a lot.
Yes.
He stopped to watch them. They were, yeah, I like them a lot. But anyways, when I watched it on Amazon, when I primed it, because like the first episode was free because they put it out early, the fucks were loud and clear.
Huh.
So, yeah, the bleeping was weird when I watched it live. But
yeah, I haven't watched any of it live. So on demand, the shits were loud and clear. The fucks seemed to be, like I said, just a little bit softened. I could still tell that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
But it wasn't at the same tenor as the other cuss words.
Yeah.
So I found that curious.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was weird because when I watched the first episode on Amazon Prime, that there were so many fucks.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a cable network show. I was like, I don't think they can say that. It seems like they would have problems for saying that. And then when I watched it live, because I wanted to like do the live viewership, and I wanted to see the second episode because it came on immediately afterwards, they were out. So I might end up just buying the series so that I can have it uncensored. Buy it on Amazon.
Yes, definitely.
So, anyways. Definitely. Well, I'm so glad you came to chat with us. Even if Shelby...
Yes, I'm... Even Shelby. If it was only us.
Poor Shelby. I'm Aww. So sad.
We'll have to do it again when all three of us can chat, because I definitely want to catch up with Shelby.
And now that we have you on the Super Laties team, now that you're the Super Duper Latie...
I don't know if that's a title I really want. I gave it to myself, so. Oh, and there's just so much awesomeness coming up with the Runaways series, and Defenders is filming, and there's so much to talk about, I feel like. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super exciting.
Yay. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me. And for bringing me to the comic book store and introducing me to all the wonderfulness.
You are very welcome. Yay. I'm glad you like it.
I do.
All right. Well, have a good night and have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.